When you hear the word focus, usually that means something like you're looking at something, you're paying close attention to it, you're really focused on something that you're seeing. Well, quite often, Jesus wants us to focus in on certain things in our lives and certain things that he's done for us. Tonight, we're talking about Jesus' transfiguration. It happened right at the end of his earthly ministry where he took Peter, James, and John on a mountain. And then he showed himself in all of his glory. They got to see him as he is, as the Son of God. It was a faith-strengthening thing for them to see that. And of course, Peter, James, and John would be carrying on the work, and they were eyewitnesses of everything. And that would be important, too, as they shared God's word with others. We're going to spend a few minutes studying about Jesus' transfiguration and focusing on it, paying careful attention to it because it teaches us many things about Jesus as well. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. Praise be to you, Lord, the God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor. For everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and to give strength to all. Now, our God, we give you thanks and we praise your glorious name. Dear friends, let us approach God with a true heart and confess our sins, asking him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to forgive us. Lord of life, I confess that I am by nature dead in sin, for faithless worrying and selfish pride, for sins of habit and sins of choice, for the evil I have done and the good I have failed to do, you should cast me away from your presence forever. O Lord, I am sorry for my sins. Forgive me for Jesus' sake. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. In his great mercy, God made us alive in Christ, even when we were dead in our sins. He died once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. Hear the word of Christ, who is called servant. I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, before the suffering and death of your Son Jesus, you revealed his glory on the holy mountain. Grant that we who bear his cross on earth may behold him in all of his glory in heaven. We pray these things through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our first scripture lesson is an Old Testament reading from Exodus 24, verses 12 through 18. After God had freed the Israelites from their slavery in Egypt, he took them to Mount Sinai. Then he called Moses to go up on the mountain with him to get the Ten Commandments. While Moses was up there, he saw God indirectly. He saw the glory of God, but didn't see God himself. And it was awe-inspiring then. Well, at Jesus' transfiguration, Moses appears there too, to see Jesus in all of his glory and to give us evidences of where our Christian faith takes us eventually, which of course is to heaven. The Lord said to Moses, "Come up to me on the mountain. Wait there, and I will give you the stone tablets with the law and the commands that I have written, so you can teach them." Moses set out with his assistant Joshua and went up onto the mountain of God. He said to the elders, "Wait here for us until we come back to you. Look, here are Aaron and Hur. They will be with you. Whoever is involved in a dispute can go to them." Moses went up onto the mountain, and the cloud covered the mountain. The glory of the Lord settled on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered the mountain for 6 days. On the seventh day, the Lord called to Moses out of the middle of the cloud. The appearance of the glory of the Lord looked like a devouring fire on top of the mountain in the sight of the people of Israel. Moses entered into the middle of the cloud and climbed up the mountain. Moses was on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. Our psalm for this evening is Psalm 148. This is a psalm about praising God. Not only do we as people praise God, but creation does as well, realizing that God has made all things. Let's read the psalm together tonight instead of responsively. Praise the Lord from the heavens, praise Him in the heights. Praise Him, all His angels, praise Him, all His armies. Praise Him, sun and moon, praise Him, all you bright stars. Praise Him, you highest heavens, and you waters which are above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, because He commanded and they were created. He caused them to stand forever and ever. He gave a decree and it will not pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, great sea creatures and all the depths, fire and hail, snow and fog, stormy winds that obey His word, mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and all cattle, crawling creatures and flying birds, kings of the earth and all peoples, officials and all judges on earth, young men and also young women, old people with young people, let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is exalted. His splendor is above the earth and the heavens. He has raised up a horn for His people, the praise of all His favored ones. For the children of Israel, the people close to Him, praise the Lord. Our second lesson is from Peter's epistle, the second one, the first chapter, verses 16 through 21. I mentioned earlier that Peter was an eyewitness of the things that happened, and that was a blessing for him as he talked to people about the Bible and where it came from. Peter told them that no person could ever make up the Bible, but the Holy Spirit had to help them write the very words of God. To be sure, we were not following cleverly devised fables when we made known to you the powerful appearance of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For He received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to Him from within the majestic glory, saying, "This is My Son, whom I love. With Him I am well pleased." We heard this voice, which came out of heaven when we were with Him on the holy mountain. We also have the completely reliable prophetic word. You do well to pay attention to it, as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Since we know this above all else, no prophecy of Scripture comes about from someone's own interpretation. In fact, no prophecy ever came by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were being carried along by the Holy Spirit. God's word for our study are the verses of the gospel lesson from Matthew 19. This is Jesus' transfiguration. 6 days later, Jesus took with Him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and He led them up onto a high mountain by themselves. There He was transfigured in front of them. His face was shining like the sun. His clothes became as white as the light. Just then, Moses and Elijah appeared to them talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you want, I will make 3 shelters here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While He was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them. Just then a voice came out of the cloud, saying, "This is My Son, whom I love. With Him I am well pleased. Listen to Him." When the disciples heard this, they fell face down and were terrified. Jesus approached as he touched them. He said, "Get up and do not be afraid." When they opened their eyes, they saw no one except Jesus alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus commanded them, "Do not tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." Dear fellow believers, when we begin a new school year, we always have a theme for the year. I mentioned that last week. The themes are in the multi-purpose room on the wall. There's big lettering in there, and then all up and down the school hallway, all kinds of themes from past years. So one year it was, "Be strong in the Lord." The Lord carries us on eagle's wings. Jesus takes away our fears. Always trust in God. And then our theme for this year is to stay focused on heaven. We try and pick a theme that the kids are going to remember, and then that theme is carried out all during the year so that on Fridays when we have chapel, I'm having a devotion based on that theme, things for the kids to learn. Well, if we have school tomorrow, I'll be doing that with the kids and talking to them about focusing, maybe using a pair of binoculars or something to focus, where you really pay attention to something. Well, focusing is good, especially when we're talking about God's Word. And that's what Jesus is interested in us doing tonight. Focusing our attention on this special event that he went through, his transfiguration, because it reminds us of many things that are very comforting to know. And as we focus on this special event, we are reminded that Jesus is God's Son. We can see it because of his appearance there. We also get a glimpse of heaven and what that's like because Moses and Elijah are there. And then there's a great encouragement where God the Father wanted the disciples and us to focus on what Jesus says, to focus on God's Word, to give us the comfort and the guidance that we need. This special event came right at the end of Jesus' earthly ministry. He is up until that special time when he's going to go to Jerusalem once more, and he's going to face his suffering and death. He's told the disciples all about it, but they're confused. They don't understand it. And so Jesus wants to give them some clarification. And that's why he takes Peter, James, and John with him up onto the mountain. I mentioned earlier that this was a key thing for these three men because they were going to continue the work. And you heard Peter in the second lesson say, "Well, we didn't make up this story about Jesus. This is something God gave us. We were eyewitnesses of it. We saw it ourselves." So it was really key for them to know it personally, but also to carry out their work too. So now here on this mountain, they're there with Jesus and they're praying, and all of a sudden, Jesus is there in all of his glory. I don't know if I can imagine what that's like. Maybe like looking at the sun, which of course you're not supposed to do, but it's so bright you can barely stand it. And it's Jesus' face, and it's his clothes, and it's everything about him. And that glory that he really had as the Son of God was something no one had ever seen until now. And these disciples, of course, had never seen it either. And the purpose of it was very simple. Jesus isn't just a man. He's the Son of God. And so for these three disciples, this was very important because that gave great reinforcement to the things that Jesus is saying and to the things that he's telling them are coming or the promises that he's making to them. This isn't just a man making these promises. This really is the Son of God. And that's why Jesus wanted them to focus on the things that they were seeing. Jesus may have appeared to be normal, but here he's proving that he is the Messiah. He is the Christ, the one that God promised to send. He's the chosen one, the Savior that God had said to Adam and Eve would be coming into the world. And that was a great comfort to the disciples. I wonder what people today think about Jesus in our modern world. I've heard some people say that they think Jesus is just a good example. I heard even one person comment in an article that Jesus was like a failed preacher because he preached, but then he ended up dying. People have a lot of ideas about who Jesus is. But thankfully, you and I don't have to wonder. We know what the Bible teaches. We know that Jesus is true man. He had that human body and soul, human characteristics. He had all of those things. The Bible calls him a man. But Jesus is also true God. He has divine power, divine characteristics, divine names. We'll get to see his divine honor when he comes back to judge on the last day. Jesus is the very Son of God and our Savior. Sometimes when I'm reading the Bible, I read about the disciples and how foolish they were. Like when Jesus is going to ascend back into heaven, one of them asks if Jesus is going to restore the kingdom to Israel now and make the Jews a great nation, which had nothing to do with Jesus' ministry. And sometimes I'm tempted to think, oh, those foolish disciples, as if I would have been any better believing what they were supposed to believe. Sometimes it's easy to think that, and yet sometimes we're just as foolish. God makes promises to us, and we don't always believe it, maybe not right away. God tells us things in the Bible, and we think we can decide if we're going to believe it or not, or trust it or not. Sometimes we're the foolish ones for trying to do things on our own instead of trusting God, or trusting ourselves instead of the promises that God makes. We need this reminder too. Jesus isn't just a man. He is God's Son, and he's come here to save us, and that gives us a great comfort and great encouragement to believe in him. So, picture Peter, James, and John. They're seeing Jesus in all of his glory, can barely stand to look at it. And now there's something else. They see Moses and Elijah with Jesus, and isn't it interesting that somehow they know who these two men are? They both would have died before these disciples were around, but somehow they knew. Maybe Jesus called them by name or something so that the disciples knew, this is Moses, this is Elijah. Well, Peter, James, and John, they had studied all the Bible stories about these two men. Moses, again on Mount Sinai, getting the Ten Commandments and seeing the glory of God there, and Elijah the prophet. Those two men would have been talking about all the prophecies and promises that God had made, and they could only dream about them being fulfilled. And now here they are with Jesus, who's about to fulfill all those prophecies and promises by going to Jerusalem and suffering and dying to pay for the sins of the world. I can't imagine what that looked like, but Peter and the two disciples, they were so excited. They never wanted this thing to end. And that's where Peter foolishly says, okay, Lord, if you want to, we'll build three shelters here on the mountain, and we'll just stay right here. One for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. We'll just stay here and worship you in all of your glory. Well, that probably sounded good to these three disciples, but Jesus had his most important work to do yet, and nothing was going to stop him from it. He wasn't going to give up his Father's plan in order to have the luxury of being worshipped on a mountain in all of his glory. He was going to continue to do what his Father asked of him. And that's what Peter, James, and John needed to understand. Jesus wasn't going to heaven yet. Moses and Elijah were there. And it would just be a matter of time until the disciples went there too. By God's grace, you and I know that we're going to be in heaven with Jesus and Moses and Elijah. And we know that by faith. We know that it's a certainty because Jesus has been perfect in our place. We know it's a certainty because Jesus has taken away all of our sins. We know it's a certainty because Jesus has been raised from the dead, and he's told us, because I live, you're going to live too. And that's what gives us the comfort and confidence that we need. Doesn't depend on us. It depends on our Savior Jesus. We have that home in heaven that the disciples got to see. We'll have that home in heaven someday with Moses and Elijah because of what the Savior has done. There's a lot of people these days that are looking for that same kind of confidence. Everyone has a spiritual void, I guess, in their lives. And if people are thinking about heaven, they think about getting to heaven not necessarily with Jesus, but in other ways. A lot of people think that they can just be good enough to get into heaven. Maybe somebody thinks that they can earn their way to heaven by doing this thing or that thing. There are some people that even have like a near-death experience, and then they think they heard the beautiful music of heaven, or maybe they saw the pearly gates or saw an angel or something, and then they think, well, because I saw those things, that must mean I'm going to go to heaven. Well, maybe people think that way, but none of that takes a person to heaven because it all depends on you. Me doing good works, me being a good person, me having a near-death experience, if that's what people want to believe, when that doesn't give us any confidence at all. Sometimes we're even tempted to think that there's got to be something we can do to get to heaven, or maybe the Lord will look more favorably on me than other people because of who I am as a Christian. But there's nothing we can do. It all depends on Jesus. And that's a good thing, because that means that we're confident of our home in heaven, just because it doesn't depend on us. We're focusing on Jesus' transfiguration. He's showing us who He is. He's showing us what the goal is going to be someday. And also, on that mountain, the disciples and we are told by the Heavenly Father to listen to Jesus. So Peter, James, and John, again, up on that mountain, they're thinking about these shelters, and all of a sudden, God the Father speaks from a cloud. And He's speaking to these three men, Peter, James, and John. And God's message is very clear. Here again is what He says. "This is My Son, whom I love. With Him I am well pleased. Listen to Him." Jesus was telling the disciples to not just hear the things that Jesus said, but then do those things. Like it says in the Bible, that blessed are those who hear God's word and obey it. So they were to hear the things that Jesus said and then be guided by that as they live their lives of faith. Again, Jesus isn't just anyone. He's God's Son. Listen to Him. "This is my Son whom I love, my Son with whom I'm well pleased." Jesus had done everything necessary to save the world, and they were to listen to Him. Well, that's a great reminder for us too. You and I can listen to a lot of things here in this world, but by faith, God wants us to listen to our Savior Jesus. Peter was right when he wrote in the reading for tonight that the Bible is God's Word. They didn't make it up. They didn't come up with the stories. This is God's Word. And that's such a wonderful comfort for us. When we're reading our Bibles, or we're studying the Bible, or we're having worship like this, what we're hearing isn't my idea or your idea. This is what God wants us to do. And we know why. God wants to guide and direct our lives to bring us to faith. He wants to guide and direct our lives to keep us in faith. He wants to guide and direct our lives until we're safely with Him in heaven. And that only happens by listening to God and His Word and keeping a strong faith and staying connected to the Savior. What a privilege we have to be able to do that, to hold on to that kind of faith that we have by God's grace, to know who Jesus is and to follow Him every day of our lives. 1 week from tonight, we're going to begin the Lenten season, and we'll be having our Lenten services on Thursday, and then the Sunday service will be a regular service. Lent is a 40-day period of time. And sometimes people think, well, I've been through a lot of Lenten seasons before, and we know all the events. You know, we know the things that happened to Jesus, so that's nothing new. If somebody would ask me why the Lenten season is so important, maybe the word that I would use is priority. You think about Jesus and what He did during the Lenten season, those 40 days. And what he was showing us is that we are his priority. Everything he did in his whole ministry, really, was for us, for all people, to save whoever would believe in him. And Jesus shows that. He wasn't going to let anything stop him from living perfectly or suffering and dying and rising again. Maybe that's a good word for us to use when we're thinking about the Lenten season. We're really showing that God is our priority. It's a special time to reflect on the things that happened to Jesus and to realize that everything he did was for us. Everything. And in the same way, then, as you and I live as believers, really that's our priority too. To live in a way that honors God, to use the abilities that we have to serve him, when we have the chance to share what we know with others, and to use what God has given us for our comfort and strength our whole life long. The Lenten season is very common. We go through it each year. But what a special time to think once again about Jesus making us his priority, and we in turn making him the priority of our lives. We can focus in on a lot of things. Thank the Lord we can focus in on him and his word. Focus on our Savior. We know who he is and what he's done for us and what we have to look forward to with him. Amen.